Welcome to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network, artistsfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone worldwide. If you are an author, independent recorded artist, or have a great idea for a weekly show, we'd love to hear from you. Follow the links we've provided at artistsfirst.com. This hour, it's my privilege to introduce author and creative artist Barbara Casey. She's the author of The Gospel According to Prissy, and for your convenience, we have her website placed on our homepage, BarbaraCaseyAgency.com. Theme music this hour provided by Dr. William Cantor Woods. Thanks for supporting the arts on Artists First Radio. And now, let's give a warm welcome to our guest. How do you do, Barbara?
I'm doing fine. I hope you are.
Oh, we're having a good time here at Artists First. We love to support independent recorded artists like the one you just heard. We've been at this since 1996. We've had thousands of guests on our airways. We have over 4 million downloads each month from our library of authors and independent music. And Barbara Casey, thank you for supporting the arts, being our guest, and coming to us via Ron Chipsick, who has his own broadcast on Artists First under the name Crime Beat.
Yeah.
Now, and he owns a publishing company, and you're with Ron Chipsick, so congratulations. He is a fabulous author in his own right. I think he's up to 28 books or something.
Yes.
And so if you haven't read his latest, Sergeant Smack, it's fabulous, but you've got to check out Crime Beat. All the broadcasts are there as archives, and people listen to them by the second they're being downloaded. It's just a wonderful feature. So, Barbara, thank you for coming to us via Ron Chipsick and Crime Beat and that broadcast. And you have a background that's not of an authorship. Introduce yourself and the type of work that you do.
Well, I started out in public relations. I was the director of public relations at a college in North Carolina. And while I was there, many of the professors would bring me their manuscripts to edit. So I really started out as an editor.
And then wow.
At some point, I decided I wanted to write my own books. And I decided to take a year off, and I had an idea of the book I wanted to write. I was going to give myself a year to write it and then try to find a publisher for it. And about 9 months after that, my first book was published. And I started helping others get connected with publishing houses and get published. And so that from that, in 1995, I opened my own agency. So not only am I an author, I've written 8 novels now and several other things, but I also represent authors around the United States and Great Britain and Japan.
Isn't it amazing, Barbara, how starting off in public relations, you never imagined that you would have clients in other parts of the world?
True. But it's wonderful. You know, I get to meet so many wonderful people, interesting people, and preview their work and then help them get connected with publishers, which is a joy to me, just as if all the books are my own. I have a lot of good authors, a lot of nonfiction writers like Ron, and a lot of interesting topics.
Boy, it raises the bar when you know what a good book should look like.
Well, it's interesting because so many of my clients do write nonfiction, and yet I'm a fiction writer. I can appreciate that talent that it takes to write nonfiction, the research that goes into it. And fiction is just such a different animal. There's research involved, like in The Gospel According to Prissy. I did a lot of research into women's prisons, for example, the kinds of things, the problems, the programs that are offered, the things that the women are faced with, and the fact that children are actually born in prison, and that's their home, and that was Prissy's situation.
Now, we've jumped right into it, Barbara Casey. Tony Kay in the studio, congratulations. This is your eighth work, so you've been around the block a few times when it comes to getting a book published, getting it out there, understanding what an audience expects from your material, and obviously you've perfected your voice and know, you know, how you're going to approach a topic.
Yes. Each one of my books is different. They involve different problems, different characters, different settings, and I'm never sure where my inspiration is going to come from. Sometimes it's from maybe something I read in the newspaper or a song lyric or a line of poetry. A few years ago, I wrote a novel, The Coach's Wife, and that was because I was married to the late Willis Casey, who was the director of athletics at North Carolina State University, and he had hired Jim Valvano, who took the Wolfpack to the NCAA championship game, and of course, the Wolfpack won that year, 1983.
Never a dull moment in your home.
Well, that was the inspiration for The Coach's Wife, and there was another novel that I wrote called The House of Cain, which deals with the publishing industry and some of the darkness in the publishing industry, and also all the wonderful things that go on. And with Prissy, it was just totally out of the blue. I had gone to a museum, and I saw this beautiful painting of a little girl. And she was wearing bibbed overalls and a knit top, and she was kneeling in the grass examining something that she had discovered. I don't know, a bug or a flower or something. But her face was just full of rapture and wonderment. And I just, that little girl just stayed in my mind. And eventually, the gospel according to Prissy resulted from that, just that one painting.
Yes, absolutely. That image really became for you a driving force.
Yes,
you
it
saw
did.
That, and you knew there was a story here.
Well, I had been in the process of fleshing out some characters. I knew that I wanted to put them in a story somehow. And then when I saw that painting of that little child, she was the connector. She was the one little thing that connected all of my characters, and immediately the story was obvious, and I knew what I wanted it to be at that point.
How did you decide to introduce the three Army veterans?
I was looking at the types of people who have gotten derailed in life. And right now, especially with so many of our veterans coming home from Afghanistan and Iraq,
yes,
that's one of our social issues that we need to address. And there was a place for them in the story. They just needed to be there. And they're wonderful. They they have their problems. They're mentally challenged. A lot of times they're still carrying a lot of baggage from the wars. They have physical disabilities, but they have a wonderful sense of humor that they bring to the story as well. They just belonged in the story.
And I think that brings it into a modern context.
Yes, it does. And there were other themes that that I brought out in the book. You have a lot of teenage crime now. It's everywhere. It isn't just in one particular area. It's just everywhere. And that was something that I addressed. And, of course, I've already mentioned the issues of women's prisons and the conditions there and so many of them that are just horrific and the problems that need to be dealt with. Spousal abuse and divorce, that's another big issue in the story. unemployment.
Well, you cover the gamut of emotions. Come on. Right. It's almost like, well, that would be the kid next door, or that might be my nephew or my son. You know, you really connect a lot of buttons that say, hey, wake up, get involved, look at this. You're compelled, and you might be laughing at times, crying at times, but the whole idea is that you've brought the audience into the topic.
That's so true. It's an intimate view into the troubled lives of people we meet every day as individuals or as a society, and none of us go untouched by these problems. We know either personally, or we know someone who is dealing with this type of problem.
This is your eighth work, so if you were a new author, we might talk about character development, because that's hard to do when you're writing your first novel or two, okay? Later, you become hopefully better at it, or you're doomed to be a failed author. You've done a masterful job at developing characters and making them believable.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Do you like placing things in a context of where you could say, well, it's this town, this street? How do you like to frame the portrait with your characters?
I think it just, all of my books are character-driven, so I do place a lot of emphasis on my characters. They're all strong, interesting, not perfect by any means. But as far as the framing of them, it just depends on the story. Another book I wrote is called The Cadence of Gypsies, and it took place between Raleigh, North Carolina, and a little town in Italy, and it involved the Voynich manuscript. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's one of the most mysterious documents in the world. No one has been able to decipher it. People have gone crazy trying to decipher it. They hired code breakers to try to decipher it. No one's been able to do it. And so the manuscript came from Italy, and that was why I tied in this little town in Italy with an orphanage in Raleigh, North Carolina. So I never know where the setting is going to be. It just depends on what my characters dictate.
Oh, absolutely, but it's believable. And that draws you into the subject. You don't want to stop reading. You want to keep turning the pages, and a good read is always enjoyable to have. Audience, if you haven't seen it yet, go to artistfirst.com. On the right-hand column, scroll down. There you'll find Barbara Casey and the link to her book, The Gospel According to Prizzi. You'll want to click that link and buy your copy. This is a rare opportunity, audience, to actually purchase a good book by a fabulous author. And if you don't believe me, there's plenty of information out there to show you, including her other materials. So, Barbara, congratulations on this. How long did you say you spent writing The Gospel According to Prizzi?
Well, I had started just developing my characters. I knew I wanted them in the same story somehow. And once I had my characters, and then once I found Prissy, the actual writing, I had already figured out how I wanted it to start. And I sort of knew the ending, and I had little flags all along the way that I wanted to fill in. Then the rest of it just took care of itself. So when I actually got down to writing it, it probably only took me about 6 months, and that was to polish it and everything. But I had been living with this little girl in my mind, and of course the character. So the whole time I was writing it in my mind before I actually sat down at the computer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple year period. You know, from the time you saw the image and began to formulate the ideas.
Probably, yeah, as it was developing in my mind. And then she was the key that brought it all together. And then I knew I could sit down and write it.
And it appears that, you know, from your point of view, I just sat down and 6 months later. You know, but you know, there's a lot of work that goes into that.
Well, I'm a polisher, too. You know, that's the editor in me. I just, in fact, I was... talking to Ron today. We both have the same style. We'll write, and then the next day we'll go back and polish that and write some more, and then go back and polish what we've already written. I'm a polisher, so it isn't that easy, and I don't mean to flop it off like it is.
Once an editor, always an editor. I know. But at some point in time, you have to cry uncle, you know.
Yeah.
It can only change the verbiage so many times,
right.
I understand. But what fun. You enjoy it. You're having the time of your life in this lifestyle, and it's afforded you the chance to write and help others at the same time.
Yes, that's right. I've learned so much about the business itself just because so many of my clients do come from different parts of the world, and dealing with publishers in different places, that not only the major publishing houses, but your independent publishers, your small independent publishers. So I've learned a great deal. I started my company in 1995, where I officially opened my agency. So, like you said, I've been around the block a few times.
Yes, and the technology has evolved.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
From the old, you know, ruled, lined, you know.
The yellow pad.
Yeah, I'm writing it out by hand,
right.
To the word processors and all of the wonderful tools that authors have at their disposal now. It's great.
I think one of the biggest blessings that has occurred since I've been in this business, when I first started, you had to send out the manuscript, the physical manuscript paper, and I would send out hundreds each week, and so through the mail. And now most publishers will take an email document attachment as from the agents. So that has just simplified my life so much. Not to mention the expense of all that postage. But that was one of the biggest changes that came about.
Oh, yeah, and you know, that just ended up in a round foul, you know.
Yeah.
You could send out 100 and not,
right.
get no responses,
right.
whatsoever. It's almost a badge of honor to be rejected, you know. you ended up this time around at Strategic Media Books with Ron Chipsick.
Yes.
And I think that's a fabulous move on your part. He's an innovative, creative thinker, an author himself. And providing a fabulous service with his Crime Beat shows here on Artist First. If you're just joining us, audience, our guest is Barbara Casey. You'll have to follow the links we provided for her latest book, The Gospel According to Prissy, Prissy, and it's another good read. Introduce the title to our audience. Did that come relatively early or later in the writing process?
That came early. Once I decided on Prissy, once I found her and she was the linking element to all the other characters, then she has the gift of prophecy. She's so special. She's such a special 5-year-old. She has the gift of prophecy, which in her case means she can quote the Bible backwards and forwards. She's always known the Bible. She was special when she was born. And so the gospel according to Prissy just seemed to fit. No one can explain this gift that she has. And not only can she quote the Bible, but she can take scripture and apply it to different situations that surround her. And, of course, the prison is full of them. But she can quote scripture, and she is such an influence, not only on the inmates in the women's prison where she lives, but everyone that she touches.
It is amazing when someone has an extraordinary gift. The circle of influence that can be handled, you know, because of that extraordinary gift.
Yes, and again, this is another issue that what do you do with these people, especially children that are obviously gifted? How do you encourage that gift or help them to fit into society? With it, you know, it's just it's some. I don't try to preach in my books, but I do offer things for people to think about and to consider. And that's one of the things that I want people to think about. If you had a little girl like Prissy, how would you help her to fit into society and not feel like she was different or in a negative way?
That's why I brought that up, Barbara, because you might have a child that's autistic, or you may have a gifted child that's in one particular area, mathematics or music, and socially inept. It's like the yin and the yang. You know, there's
right.
always difficulty, or you've got all this brilliance, but it's locked up in a chamber.
Yes. Well, a lot of people live with this. They, you know, they're facing this, and they're looking for answers. And of course, there is no one single answer. But all you can do is explore. And try to consider different options.
And in your books, I like the way that you make it personal. As I said before, it could be your nephew, the person next door, you know, your brother, your child. You really like the intimacy aspect of relationships.
Yes, I do. Now, the only time I ever kind of got a little away from that and sort of explored more of a paranormal aspect was in a book I wrote called Shyless Initiative. And I got a little bit into soul transference in that. That was the first time I won the Ippie Award for that book because it was so unusual. And again, I did a lot of research. I visited botanicas and watched the different ceremonies that were involved in the Santeria religion, that kind of thing. So that was one book where I sort of experimented and left my comfort zone.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you're dealing with the occult,
yes,
you know,
uh-huh.
that is a tough one.
Right.
Because usually those aren't the emotions you want to have.
That's true.
Possessed, tortured,
right.
debased, in fear, paranoia.
Right.
Yeah, I just love those. You know?
Oh, dear. Well, you have to pick one of those up then and read that one. That was a good one. but again, I base my research on fact. The things that are in that story, even though it's a fiction, a work of fiction, the Santeria beliefs, the practices and all are in fact true. So I think that adds an element to any book that makes it more enjoyable if you know that the research is good and correct. So.
I pronounce it Shayla, but it's not Shayla's initiative. It's Shala's
uh-huh.
initiative.
Uh-huh.
Someone could read it because Amazon gave you 5 stars out of 5 stars. So congratulations once again. You're putting good material out there. And anytime on Artist First Radio, Tony Kaye has an opportunity. I like our audience to know who the good ones are.
Oh, good.
And you have several fabulous works worthy of any reader's attention. So, audience, if you're looking for good books, good reads, whether it's in suspense or paranormal or romance, here's some good literature that you'll be happy you purchased and happy you shared. So, Barbara, thank you for keeping up the good work. And you've won some, I'm not speaking flippantly, what is this, 2003 Independent Publishers Book Award?
That's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these are people who know a quality work, and you're being recognized for that.
And the book that I mentioned, The House of Cain, which was, I told you, dealt with the publishing industry, that was in contention for a Pulitzer. I didn't receive it. I didn't get the nomination, but it was in contention. So that was recognized, I think, again, because I was dealing with a topic that you don't read much about, the publishing industry.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Right.
when you say things that are true badly, you can't get away with it. If you say things that are true well, it's amazing what you could be recognized for. Okay,
right.
And you, as you stated, that book, "The House of Kane," Kane, tackles a topic of journalism, literature, at so many levels.
When I wrote that, there had been a story that had just come out about, I believe it was a New York Times editor that had been charged with plagiarism, and that started my thought process, and that was when I started creating that story. And then, strangely enough, right after that, there were a couple of other incidents where editors with large newspapers were charged with plagiarism. So there was that aspect in that book. You'll be interested in going back to Prissy with her gift of prophecy. She's only 5 years old, so she hasn't quite grasped the concept of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So when she does quote Scripture, rather than using Jesus or God or the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, she uses Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, or the Easter Bunny. These are the things that she's familiar with. She has the right context, and she has the right meaning. She knows what it stands for, but she uses her own people or characters to populate the Scripture with. So that's one aspect of Prissy's gospel.
She's putting her own world into. I can touch. I see Santa Claus. There he is. There's the image right in front of me.
Yeah.
Okay. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, they're here too, but I see them in Santa Claus.
That's right. Okay. That's how she understands it.
And so it's not with a level of disregard or irreverence.
Oh no, not at all. And the people that she does quote Scripture to, they understand that about her, and they respect her, and they apply what she quotes to their own situations and learn from it. So she it's a beautiful gift that this child has.
Yeah, what fun. Now, do you have children of your own, Barbara Casey, or grandchildren?
I have two grown daughters. They're both grown.
Did you dabble a little bit in the youth of their thinking when you were building your characters? In other words, do you have an audience in mind when you write? Do you think of what age group or who might be attracted to this story, and male, female, or age group?
Not so much, unless I'm writing a young adult. I still like to write young adult occasionally, and then in that case I do try to keep the age in mind, but that's the only time. The rest of it, the story just has to be written, and I hope that people will like it, you know, but I'm not driven by trying to cater to a certain age or a certain trend or anything like that. It's just whatever comes out of me, what you see is what you get, and I just hope that you'll like it.
Well, I was thinking about Grandpa Jock. I'm sorry,
oh,
Grandma Jock.
Right. Well, okay.
Gotcha.
I probably drew from my mother a little bit. I think all writers have a little bit of autobiography things in their writing. Even if it's only an emotion or a reaction to a certain situation, I think that's just part of the writing process. But
that we draw from our experiences.
Well, yes,
you know,
that's right.
where am I? Well, I happen to have been born in the United States of America in some Carolina place. Well, then we're there. That's where we're placed.
Yes.
And when? Well, it was 1800 or it was 1500 or, you know.
Right.
I'm either an Indian, you know, no, I'm in a cave with a club. I mean, we're all, we all come from a culture, a background, an interest, the way that we were raised, the relationship we had with our family, our home, all
right.
of that should, I think, play a role in the way that we write and build characters, topics that we select as writers. I would hope it was a reflection of something valuable or something we can learn from.
Certainly from our experiences.
Yes.
And to draw from. And what we've learned along the way.
In any of your 8 books now, room for a preacher? Have you had a preacher as a character?
Let's see. No, I have not.
So there we go. That means there's always the future.
That's right. Do you have something in mind?
Well, you might. That's the way life journey happens. And,
that's right.
And so you never know what it'll be. Or a radio personality. You know, I have this conversation with Tony Kaye, and the next thing, he's in a novel.
That's right.
You don't need to send a dollar, and you have it on record. So what can I say? but we get our ideas from lots of directions, emotions that we feel as the Gospel of Prissy was created from that impact, that portrait.
I remember another book that I wrote was called Just Like Family, and that came about just from that expression. Living in the South, you hear that expression a lot. Oh, she's just like family, or oh, they're just like family. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's my other aunt, my other uncle.
Yeah,
but they're not really, you know, an
right.
aunt or an uncle, but they are. Okay,
right.
They've been there since you were born. They're a part of the, you know, heritage of your family. It's the Hatfield and McCoys, but they love each other.
That's right. Well, the issues that I was addressing in that book, right now, because of we have so many seniors are approaching the retirement now and wondering what they're going to do with the economy and so forth, and so that was a fun book to write because my characters were 2 men and 2 women from totally different backgrounds who only knew each other because they lived in the same retirement development, and they decided they didn't like that and they were going to move out and fix up a great big old rundown house and live in it, the 4 of them. And that's how that one came about.
Yeah, and Haley decided to take a year off. So that
yes.
fit right in, right?
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I love that. That's what makes it so believable and real, because you experience things in your life, and now you can fictionalize them and change your name and actually do some strange stuff.
I know.
That you wouldn't want, you wouldn't do or find yourself, perhaps, in that circumstance normally, but as an author, you're able to do it.
You are, you don't get hurt by it. You can write it. You don't have to actually experience it.
Yeah, and you know, and if you're and most authors have a circle around them that will never read the book anyway. So you know.
So they're
not going to come up and say, "Did you really do that?
No.
Is that me you're writing about here?"
Oh, right.
Okay.
Right.
So yeah.
I know. I have a cousin who just swears that she knows all the characters personally. You know, I know who you meant by that, and of course, she's wrong. They're made up, but she's just convinced that she knows all the characters.
That's okay. That's all right. Let's keep her guessing.
Right.
Get a little closer with the next book. There's got to be a neighbor you know.
Yeah.
Do it on purpose. Put it in there is what I'm getting at. What fun. Barbara Casey. BarbaraCaseyAgency.com, the website. Lots of good stuff there, folks, including a blog. So it's always you're writing broadly.
Right.
You're blogging.
Well, so as much as I can, I'm not a blogger per se, because I know there's some dedicated bloggers out there, and I wouldn't even attempt to hold my name up with theirs. But
me neither. I knew this would be a disaster as soon as they invented the blog.
Well, you know, that I'm not that comfortable with it. I haven't really worked myself around how it all works yet, but I do have a blog on my website, and I do try to put up things either about writing or to help other writers who are struggling, and I'm there to answer questions or just whatever, however I can help, it's there.
I think it's mostly blee blob. There's no more blogging going on. It's blee blog. It's everybody's over on Facebook or other social network sites.
I know.
Twittering, I know. Tweeting, whatever.
I know.
They're over there now.
I
okay,
know.
You got to keep up. It's hard. It is. I know. We're always struggling with the technology and links and feeds. And, you know, it's a mess. You got to have kids. You got to hire those high school kids because they know more about it than we do.
It's true, because I definitely do not. I just, I do the best I can, but I write novels. That's what.
Yeah, where's your app? Everybody's got an app. Hey, Barbara Casey app. You know, I got to have that. Then I can get all of her, I can get her blog. She made an entry last year. I know. It's just, mobile phones, cell phones now, and 2013 automobiles. Listen, they're all tuned into Artist First. It's the best thing on the radio. That's because I have guests like Barbara Casey. You know, it makes it fun. But thank you for joining Artist First Radio, for being our guest and sharing some of the backdrop of what it goes into, what you put into writing your books.
Well, thank you so much.
Are you thinking about something now? Or are you working on a new project?
Yes, I am actually.
Are you afraid to tell us? Or
I'm
you wanna,
very superstitious.
Okay,
I'm,
then let's not. Let's
right.
just keep them guessing.
But yes, I'm definitely working on something else, and it'll be again character driven.
Hey, maybe bloggers will know about it first.
No.
No. Okay. Well, we tried. I tried.
I might tell my dog, and that's it.
Okay. So we do have an announcement on the blog for The Gospel According to Prissy. Very nice. Is that the cover? Oh no, that's a banner with the cover.
Yes.
In it, and there's a child, I believe, holding flowers?
A little doll.
Oh, a little doll. Okay.
That's her doll. That's Mary Magdalene.
Tony Kay's having eye surgery, so he's not very, not a very happy camper. But,
oh, no, I wouldn't be either.
No, it's no. It's worse than having teeth work. but I was, so I'm, the color is bothering me, but don't worry. You're okay. It's beautiful. It's lovely.
Well, again, the Strategic Media Books, their artist did that. She came up, I gave her an idea, and she came up with that rendition. It's just beautiful. I'm just really happy with it.
I'm happy with it, yes. Very nice. Very well done. Okay. Wandering, that's the other one, Wandering Sage Publishing. So you've tried other publishers, too.
I have. I've tried several. Uh-huh.
So you know that they have that raises the bar.
Yes, I know.
That puts the pressure on Ron. Yeah, I like that. That makes me happy. I'm a happy guy now. You've become my best friend.
I have to say, though, he's one in a million. I really am enjoying working with him, and I love the especially on the marketing aspect. We're having a lot of fun working on that together. So. He's good.
Yeah, I mean, and the caliber of the people that he brings on the radio station, you know.
Yeah.
They're in prison, they're mobsters, you know, they're just the criminal. He just brings on the best people. Oh, yeah, he's... so that's the, you know, be careful. You know, you got to be careful, you know, because Ron, he's connected.
I know.
No, all kidding aside, he's a fabulous show host, great show, Crime Beat. Check it out. Everything's free, on demand. And Barbara, congratulations for joining those ranks. You'll have a good time. And I know he'll learn a few things from you, too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Now, the one other, oh, contact. Do you travel?
I do, yes.
And so those interested in your other services, you would travel? Or they?
Oh, no, just people can connect with me. Just send me an email, and that's how I get started.
So Barbara at BarbaraCaseyAgency.com. Send an email.
Yes.
And see what she can do for you.
That's right.
What fun.
Normally the process is people will send me a proposal, a book proposal, or they'll, if they have questions, they'll just write to me and ask the questions. Or if they have a completed manuscript, they'll send it to me to look at. And if they want representation, then I will consider it for representation.
Do you try to limit, or do you have criteria, maybe not disclosed, but in your own mind, you know, what kind of client?
I'm very selective. You have to be in this business, because otherwise it's just, you're just beating your head against the wall. But the publishers are so particular, and if I don't feel like I can place a manuscript, I won't offer a contract for it. It wouldn't be fair to the writer or to me. But there are a lot of advantages, of course, of having an agent. Mainly, so many of the publishing houses won't consider manuscripts unless they do go through an agent. So it's hard. It's a hard business to break into.
The Gospel According to Prizzi, when was it released?
Just this month. Well, actually, it was March 15th.
March 15th of 2013.
Right.
And now it's out there. Do you find that you, as an author, have to precision or position and market each of your books differently? Or at some point, do people just know, oh, that's great, that's Barbara Casey?
A little of both. I try to individualize the marketing for each one of my books. Naturally, there are certain things that are the same. I do a lot of speaking engagements, and that's a good place to sell my books and talk about my books at writers' conferences and universities, that kind of thing. And so that just is for all of my books. But like Shyla's initiative, when that book came out, I went around to all the botanicas that I had visited, and they wanted to take some to sell. So that was just in that one instance for that book. So I do try to tailor my marketing for each book, in addition to doing the usual things.
Do you write press releases yourself? I know that going to the internet, you've put in free press releases, and you can find millions of outlets interested in receiving content of particular types.
You know, it depends on the publisher I'm working with. Now, with Prissy, Ron sends out the press releases. He knows where he wants to send them, and there are a few that I will send out because I know the people personally, and I am asking them to do book reviews, that kind of thing, because I have used them before. So in this case, I guess we both sent out press releases, but he sent out most of them.
I'm finding that today people are inundated with so much mail and opportunity,
right,
that having a press release once is not adequate, you know, really every 3 months, you know, every 12 weeks or 14 weeks, you need to be reminding people that it's there.
You just have to write a really good press release and hope that, something about it's going to attract the interest of the person you're sending it to. Because, I mean, just all the spams and all the emails that all of us get every day, it's hard. And so you just have to come up with something really creative. And I try not to, I try to target people that who already are familiar with my work. And I know that it will be received, and they will want to look at anything new that I have and either review it or put an article in the paper about it or something like that.
You're putting all the effort in. You know, if you were with a big house, Books a Million, and they were, you know, you were under a big publisher, and they were going to put out 100,000 of your books, you'd be working your little fanny off, girl. They'd be flying you all over the place because you got to sell them books.
That's it. And, you know,
so having an investor say, hey, here's a bunch of money, we'll get you set up, and that's just the beginning. You know, you'd be traveling to those chains. You'd be doing book signings and spending a night in a hotel. And, you know, you've got to work at it. Whether someone's funding you up front with a bunch of money and good distribution, or whether you're doing it yourself, it's a big investment of capital and time that you have to get out there and make it happen.
That's true. Writing is only part of it. Getting the book published is only part of it. And then the work starts, the hard work starts, and that's the marketing of it. Because the book is no good if no one's going to read it.
And having the book recognized, you've been fortunate that others in the business have said, hey, this is a worthy manuscript. Okay,
yes.
That's so important, those credentials, because that adds gives the audience, gives the potential reader a chance to say, hey, if they're up there, they must be worthy of my attention.
Of course, you always have there's an exception to everything, and you always have that college kid who writes something on the yellow pad in his dorm room, and then prints it off at Kinko and sells 1,000 copies or 10,000 copies, and then a publisher will pick it up and publish it for real. But that is just such an unusual event. That doesn't happen that often.
I know. It's like the funny videos, the YouTubes and all that. Now, oh, we've had 26 million downloads. Gee, if I would have had a commercial associated with that, I'd be a millionaire. But no, everybody downloaded it. Now, look, I gave it away for free. Yuck. So, yeah, you're right. There's always appears to be, I just wasn't lucky enough to get that ad in. If I would have only known that 500,000 downloads for Davy Jones, you know, he died. He was on Artist First.
Oh.
We love Davy, okay? Then a year later, he passes away.
Oh.
500,000 people downloaded his show.
Goodness.
If I would have only had a commercial on that hour, right? Yeah, it's you're always working as an entrepreneurial effort, you know, trying new ideas, getting out and guerrilla marketing, meeting the public, speaking at the local organization, the library, the social group, you know, building a group of people who enjoy. Now, do you also belong to any writers' groups?
I do not.
It's too time-consuming.
True, it is, and I really just don't have the time. I did when I was first starting out years ago, and I think they're great for new authors or new writers who aren't familiar with the terrain, and they can really pick up a lot of valuable tips if they belong to writers groups. But no, I don't do that now.
Barbara Casey, thank you for being our guest. I've had a great time ribbing you, teasing you a little bit, and learning about your writing process and your fabulous accomplishments.
Well,
thanks for being
our guest. Great time too, Tony. Thank you so much.
It's kind of hard to get a word in edgewise with me, but I let it happen occasionally. Thanks for joining us. Before I let you go, anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to, or closing remarks?
No, just thank you for having me. And if anyone's interested in buying The Gospel According to Prissy, it's available through all the local and national booksellers, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, strategicmediabooks.com, or through your local bookstore.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for more great programming on the Artist First Radio Network. Hopefully the next operator will know how to work this board. Thanks for joining us, everyone.